This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, this is John Franco, and you're listening to the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN New York. Let's go Mets!
Thank you, Johnny, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on, this is a Tuesday.
Sure it is.
March 22nd, and it's 2022. I'm in Tampa. Don is in the Prudential Center in New Jersey, and Peter is in, we can't even tell you where he, you know, it's a secret. For security.
He's on the island on TV, of Manhattan.
On TV.
If you're watching on TV, it looks just like my home.
Does it really?
Just like it. Michael, why didn't you guys have a game today?
The Yankees are playing on the road.
Okay.
So. I'm doing the show. We're not broadcasting the game on the road.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
When are they back home?
Tomorrow night.
Ooh.
On TV. First game ever exclusively on the Yes app.
Wow.
Because the Yes has the Nets game tomorrow.
So tomorrow night's game exclusively.
You have to have the Yes app.
Who are you calling it with?
Cameron Maybin, baby.
Call me Maybin. Yeah. And the Kaster
right.
Together. And that's Wednesday. What else do you have this week? I want the whole layout.
Then I'm coming home Thursday morning.
Okay.
And I'll be doing the regular show.
That's it. Okay.
All right. Ray Rowe.
Why are you so concerned?
Just want you back here. Just want to be near you.
I do have a little bit of an announcement to make.
Well, is it what you just announced right before the show started?
Well, you would like that, wouldn't you?
Maybe it's time for you to walk away?
Yeah, maybe it might be time for
you. You missed that, Don.
That announcement can come at any moment between now and 7.
Sure.
But this is actually even more of a positive announcement, because that would be a positive for you and Don. But today, I tell you, ESPN New York and the MSG Networks announced a multi-year radio broadcasting agreement.
Hey now.
Yeah! Ensuring that 98.7 ESPN continues to serve as the official radio flagship of the New York Knicks and the New York Rangers. We've been their partner since 2004. It's been a great partnership. The arrows are pointing up, you would think. And they'll be back with us for a number of years in the future. We're thrilled about that. We're thrilled about our partnership with the Knicks and the Rangers and the MSG Networks. And of everybody that is employed by 98.7 ESPN, Peter, the happiest person in the world today is Don Marco LaGreca. Because he gets to continue as one of the radio voices of the New York Rangers. Now, if they'd gone to another station, Don would have either had to leave the show to continue to do the radio or never do the radio again. Now he doesn't have to make that Sophie's choice.
I don't have to make the choice, but come on. Have I not built up enough equity that I could probably split the two stations?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think I have?
Well, let me ask you a question, Sal, okay? Yeah. Here we go. Okay, let's be honest with each other. Let's say that the MSG Networks made a terrible, terrible mistake, and they went with FAN. Do you think that they'd allow you to do the games on FAN and do the radio show on Eaton?
No. And FAN wouldn't allow me to do it either. But I'm just saying, if we went to another radio station, we could probably make it work. I remember, I don't think I'm saying anything out of school here, but for a while we had Army football.
Right.
Do you know who calls Army football?
No, who?
The legend, John Minko. At least at the time he did. And he was on our air. You know what? If Minko can do it, I can do it. But now I don't have to worry about it.
That's right.
And it's a relationship that we've had since the 04-05 season. There were no Rangers that year because of the lockout, but the Knicks started. So it's a relationship, Michael, that's been going on a long time and will take us through 20-plus years, which I think is terrific.
It's going to be great. And all kidding aside, you are just you're synonymous now with the Rangers with their big moments. And I'm thrilled for you, and I'm thrilled for the station, and I'm thrilled for the MSG Network. So congratulations on extending that deal. Multi-year, they call it.
I love that. Congrats, Don.
And another thing that's being announced that he doesn't even know, when Ed Cohen, like, occasionally fills in for Mike Breen on the TV, they're going to have Peter Rosenberg do Knicks play-by-play on the radio. That's part of the deal, too.
By the way, I would love that. Just one. Just give me one.
You've already done a Yankee game, so why not that?
Yeah.
I could handle the basketball for sure. I mean,
you could handle basketball play-by-play on the radio where you have to be on the ball every second.
Actually, you know what? Well,
especially not after what he said yesterday, Michael. After what he said yesterday, he is out of the running.
What do you mean? Canisius?
No. Tell him what you said to me when Michael wasn't on yesterday.
Oh, I said I think basketball is my least favorite radio sport, actually.
Wow. Canisius?
It's just very hard. I give Ed Cohen all the credit in the world and all the guys who do it. It's so hard. Like, with hockey, Don, it's incredibly hard, too. But there's something about the speed of hockey and the sounds in the background of the skates and the sticks that all of it sort of comes together. Basketball seems super tough to me.
You can do it because you're phenomenally talented.
Thank you, and I appreciate that.
Let them know you're interested. It's no joke. There's a lot of times because of Mike Breen's schedule and Kenny's schedule where they've had to use a third announcer. You throw your hat in a ring. Great cross promotion. I didn't think I'd be able to do it until I did it.
Oh, you knew you could do hockey. You dream in hockey.
But you don't know. You don't know how it's going to sound. I mean, I auditioned, and I didn't expect to get it, and I got it.
If you followed hockey.
It's a great point.
You know what the rating would be? Like, right now, there's not – the Knicks are pretty much mathematically eliminated at this point, right? They're five back with, what, 10 to go. They got Atlanta coming up, so maybe –
11 to go. Well, they have to win all 11 to be 500.
But the point is that they're going to have some meaningless games down the stretch. Imagine, as great as Ed is, if you threw Peter in every once in a while.
Woo! See, now you're talking about – see, Don, now you're talking about something, an event of sorts. I'd have guests, you know.
It's not like a television show. It's a radio show.
No, it would be like a K-Rod cast.
But K-Rod cast is on TV. We can have a talk show, and you could see the game. When you're on radio, if you're talking with LL Cool J, you're not going to know what's going on the court.
No, but like
LL Cool J is hard as hell.
No
matter what, Michael, it's still just all you have to do is just update the score. All right, Knicks just scored. Go ahead, L.
Yeah, yeah, please.
All right,
as
Hawks
you were saying.
Just scored.
So you meet Russell. Meet Russell Simmons in 1984. Then what? Let's go.
Now, do you go when you're talking with him? Do you call him L? Do you call him LL? Do you call him J? Call him Cool J?
Well, you know, LL and I don't have a great relationship.
Oh, no.
So I don't call him anything. We once had a little back and forth at Hot 97, and he once called me a meatball.
Okay.
It was pretty rude, too, because he didn't even really know he was recording. They were recording him doing drops, and he said something, and someone mentioned my name, and he went, "Oh, Rosenberg, that guy's a meatball." Yeah. And everyone started laughing, by the way. All these people who all work at Hot 97 who I know.
Wow.
They were laughing like the reporters in a scrum.
Like
the Bobby Knight.
Oh, LL called him a hamburger.
Maybe these people don't like you. Maybe you work with them, but they don't like you, so they like somebody taking you down.
Listen, it's possible, too. I hope LL and I are good right now, because no matter how he feels about me, I consider him an idol no matter what.
Oh, how about if you have
on game, he'd love you.
How about if you have on Ye?
You mean Ye?
Or that.
I don't know if Ye is going to come
be
on
the
show.
Yeah. Let things settle down first.
Pete Davidson, more likely, at a Knick game, right?
Kanye West.
Well, if you want Kanye there, then have Pete there, and Kanye will follow.
That's you can literally update the song. Pete Davidson in space.
Wow.
Wow. No, he's not doing it, Don.
Oh, now he's not doing it?
Yeah,
Wind Horse in space!
If you're Pete Davidson, right? If you're Pete Davidson, Don, and you got what you got going down on Earth, you really want to, like, risk it by going up in a rocket?
It's
a hard pass.
One of the best points Michael's ever made.
Yeah, you don't risk this, okay?
Although,
when things are going poorly, go up in a rocket.
How did you feel about the news that Pete has already gotten two tattoos and a brand of Kim Kardashian?
I wish he wouldn't do that to himself.
And the branding was genius, because when she explained it on Ellen, she said that the reason he did a brand was because he didn't want to be able to change his mind and have it removed. But if you know that's a possibility, maybe don't do the branding.
Oh, and it's a possibility.
Today's the day where they're exchanging arbitration numbers.
Okay.
Mark Feinstein, a Pete friend of the Kim show, Kardashian. By the way, okay. And a big, big Washington Commander fan like Peter,
that's right.
Reporting on MLB that Gleyber Torres and the Yankees have agreed to a $6.25 million deal, avoiding arbitration.
Ah. That's nice. What, they got, like 11 other guys?
Yeah, now 10. And one of those guys, which is a perfect, you know, jumping off point, Don. And before we get into this, for those that are listening on the radio, thank you. Thank you so much for doing that. But you're missing the simulcast. Don looks today about as good as he's ever looked, Peter. He's got on one of LV's sport coats.
Yep.
The hair is neatly trimmed. He looks like $1 million.
No, listen, he looks terrific. Still, the face is still weird. You know, let's be honest about it. He still looks
like
a stranger.
But you can start to see the stubble because the beard is coming in. So what we're going to do is we're going to get a full-blown beard going and then trim it down to the goatee. You'll be back.
Oh, so you're going to start full like, thin beard across the whole thing?
Full claws.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, that would be mage. Don, that should be a thing. What if you grow out a gray beard all the way to Christmas?
Yeah.
Full and like then you do Santa Claus is coming to town.
No, not like Letterman. Letterman should stop what he's doing. Stop it immediately. Just grow a Santa Claus beard. Just for the kids. We get pictures every day of little kids watching the show. You don't think they want to see Santa Claus doing sports talk?
Well, we would be big there.
Yeah, because this is what Santa looks like in March. Right. Then you get to December.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, stress eating, the whole deal. Yeah, sure.
Santa
anyway.
Drops like 30 pounds, shaves his beard, and then builds it all back up again in time for December 25th.
Let's do that. And by the way, that's the best sport coat you've ever worn.
Thank you. Well, LV knows what he's doing.
He's a gentleman. The man's a gentleman.
Now, one other thing before we start off, Peter, if you can remind LV that the season starts on April 7th, and you know, a couple of 48 long certainly would do the trick.
Okay. He listens all the time. So.
LV, a couple of 48 longs, they do the trick.
Wow. Look at you. just like he's Adam Sandler on center stage.
How'd that work out?
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're a snurrer. For big things, not food, like movies and free clothes.
Right, right. I don't need food. I can afford that myself. All right. So, Yankees have 10 more arbitration cases. That they'll have to exchange numbers, but because of the lockout, the arbitration cases are actually going to be heard during the season, which is pleasant. So, you're going to have to sit there and listen to them tell you how bad you are and then go out and play that night. So, I'm sure the Yankees and all teams are going to try to avoid arbitration. But the one that is the story, and Joel Sherman wrote it today in the Post, is Aaron Judge. This is the last year before he could become a free agent. He has expressed his desire to stay with the Yankees forever. He said there's nothing like wearing this uniform. And Joel is reporting that the Yankees will present him with a package before opening day, which is his deadline. He said once the season starts, he doesn't want to negotiate after that. Although I spoke to a big-time agent yesterday, and the agent said, don't believe that. He said, I've had clients say that too. The offer comes on May 10th and you bring it to the client. He goes, okay, let's sign it. He said, you know, maybe in this case it's true, but everybody likes to present deadlines to speed things up. But right. The Yankees look like they're serious about making this guy an offer. They know they can't lowball him. When he's healthy, he's one of the top five players in baseball. So, and he is the face of the sport. One of the faces of the sport, definitely one of the faces of the Yankees, if not the face. It's going to be interesting to see what the deal will look like that they present to him. Does he deserve to be? I mean, these are the things you have to decide. One of the highest paid players in baseball. Does he deserve to get a 5 or a 6 year contract? Because he's 30 years old now. Now, he's probably going to want a 7. I think the Yankees will probably offer a 5. Will they say, okay, let's make it 6? Not sure. I don't know if this is a slam dunk, but I think that the looming specter of Aaron Judge having to be signed, and then you have 3 mega stars signed for a long time into their late 30s, that's probably why the Yankees have not been dabbling in other big-time free agents, because if they do sign Judge, then you've got Cole, you've got Judge, you've got Stanton, and you're going to have them in their late 30s on the team, and at that time they probably will be not at peak efficacy because age gets us all. I'm very intrigued by this, and I wonder what kind of offer they will make to him and what kind of offer he would turn down or accept. But I think it could get done. I think it could get done before April 7th.
Well, I'm sure it's more about years than money, right? So it's Yankees probably offer 6. He probably wants 7, something like that, right? mm-hmm. where they probably want to try to get his contract to end sometime when he's 36, not 37 or 38. You don't want another Derek Jeter situation, right? Where, you know, clearly I think the organization was ready to move on from Derek, but how could you do it? He's Derek Jeter. And then what ends up happening, Derek Jeter breaks down, and you probably felt like you could have moved on to another shortstop. You don't want that situation. And it's more likely that it's going to end poorly. Even if he ends up not having any more injuries, Michael, does he have the body type and the structure that's going to play deep into his 30s? I don't think so. I think once he gets past 36, he's got a chance of breaking down. He's not going to have the luxury of DHing all the time because Stanton's still on the team for, what, another 5 years? And Stanton's going to have to DH. So it's probably not going to end well if you give more than six. The question is he going to give a hometown discount? Is he going to say, I want to be a Yankee, so I'll accept the 6 years? Or would he test free agency and try to get more years someplace else?
Well, I think the thing that probably is disconcerting most of the Yankees analyze everything. I mean, they break it down to a fine powder, and they run numbers, and they run scenarios, all that. And it's responsible to do that. And, Don, you mentioned the most important thing as part of this decision now. What's he going to be like when he's 36 or 37? There's no priors that you can run through the computer and see how they did, because he's a one-of-a-kind size. I mean, there haven't been players that size. The closest that I could think of, which does bode well for him, is Dave Winfield. But Dave Winfield was not as heavy as – and I'm saying heavy just in terms of pounds. Aaron doesn't have an ounce of fat on him. But Dave Winfield wasn't 285 like Aaron
no,
is.
He was like,
lean.
Right?
He was 6'6", like 240, 230. But he played into his 40s at a pretty high level. So
right,
I don't know. I don't think anybody really knows.
Yeah, but not with the same team. I mean, he kind of bounced around. He was exclusively a DH for what, like the last – for the majority of his career after he left the Yankees, right? I mean, I think he was exclusively a DH in all those other stops. Now, I think once Stanton's contract comes off the books, you can make him exclusively a DH, but that can't come for another 5 years, right? Is that what it is left on Stanton's contract? Five?
I think it might be six. I'll have to look.
All right, so if it's six and you give 6 years, or you give like 7 years, let's say you cave and you give the 7 years to Judge, six of those 7 years he's not going to be able to be a DH. Because that's where Stan's going to be. He'll be able to DH occasionally, but he can't exclusively be a DH. You think that's going to be good for him to be in the outfield games?
Maybe at some point they move him to first at his size. But the one thing with the difference between Judge and Stanton, Judge's injuries have not been leg injuries. Stanton's injuries have been leg injuries, and that's why he hasn't been able to play in the outfield as much. He's going to play in the outfield a lot this year. I talked to Boone, and Boone said, I can see him playing the outfield two or three times a week. Because that opens up everything else, and that gets you to the 500 at-bats for LeMahieu. But Judge's injuries are not leg injuries. You know, he's had obliques.
No.
He's been hit by pitches. He's hurt his hand. But leg injuries have not been a problem, and that's usually what keeps you out of the outfield.
Michael, I'm not judging, no pun intended, his injuries in the future to what's happened to him before.
Right.
I think that's a part of it, though, because he has had injuries. And if he goes and gets hurt this year, you could say, well, do I want to give a long-term contract to a guy that has had 3 years of limited action? But just logic tells you, Michael, if he played every game of his career, a guy that size playing the outfield for the next 6 years, that's probably not going to end well. It's probably not going to age well either, because he won't be as effective an outfielder. Right now he's an outstanding outfielder with a tremendous arm. That's gonna deteriorate as the contract goes on. And some of his injuries do come from running into the wall, diving, because he wants to make every play. And not being able to get that rest in DH, it certainly can affect. If I knew he could DH for the majority of his contract, I don't think I'd be as concerned.
I'll tell you one thing. I have not revealed this, but after he was so kind to Charlie, I will be representing Aaron in these negotiations.
True?
Yeah. Nobody could sell this man like I can. Nobody. I'll get him a 10-year deal, okay? Got it? I'll give him a 10-year deal. By the way, Joel Sherman reporting, the Yankees and Kyle Higashioka have settled at $935,000.
All right, listen, under a million.
Wow, you really figured that one out.
Yeah, that was easy enough to figure out. The Mets have like 14 guys, right? They've got a ton of guys they've got to deal with arbitration.
That is very, very important.
Those are the same 14 that are unvaccinated? Anything
great point.
Don't know.
You know, I didn't. I really did not understand or realize that that was open to get thrown out there, because I've been holding back. But now that, you know, you mentioned the Mets being unvaccinated, well, I can, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to take the high road, Peter.
I have a question, Michael.
Yeah.
Why are you not willing to, if it comes down to it? I understand he's not negotiating right now. Would you also negotiate on behalf of Giancarlo Stanton?
He's locked in for six more years.
But if for some reason.
Yes. And Boone.
God, okay. Just making sure everyone's getting the same treatment.
Everybody's getting K-Love this year. K-Love is a new T-shirt that's coming out.
I don't like that.
K-Love?
That's uncomfortable.
What
Why?
About.
That's really uncomfortable.
What about Chocolate Blanco on the front and then K-Love on the back?
I can't give you detail why that's uncomfortable, but I think you know why it's uncomfortable.
K-Love.
No,
K-Love.
I think it just rolls off the tongue.
K-Love.
K-Love, the summer of K-Love.
That seems weird.
I think a certain product can use that as a commercial or a slogan.
You know, why don't you just start studying the Devil's roster when your mind goes
Summer
to that
place? Summer of K.
Now, since you're at the Prudential Center today, can you ask around during the commercial breaks, Don, to see if they've spoken with the Nets about possibly playing their playoff games there? Ask people.
Great question.
There's no way they would do that.
Really? They'd rather play without Kyrie, because now it looks like they won't have Ben Simmons.
I don't think they would do it. But
you don't think the Nets would do it? The Prudential Center would.
Oh, the Prudential Center would do it. I would have to see what concerts they have here, because the Devils aren't going to the playoffs, so it would be open from that standpoint. Well, we talked about it. You could bring all of the employees over from Barclays Center over to here, so nobody loses any. But he owns the building, so logistically it's possible. I don't see it happening, but I guess it's worth an ask, right? I don't know who I'd ask here.
Go find the president of the Prudential Center. I think it's the actor The Rock. That's why they named it The Rock.
So I just kind of wander the concourse and look for a door that says president?
Yes, exactly.
Knock on the door.
Well, they're just clicking them off here. Joel Sherman reporting the Yankees and Wandy Peralta have agreed to a $2.15 million deal, avoiding arbitration.
Higgy's got to be red hot. That's way higher.
Higgy was the backup catcher last year.
Oh, but now he's the starting catcher.
Yeah, but you don't pay them for what they're going to do. You pay them for what they did.
Which
you hope
so
that they do well.
Because you give so arbitration's about rewarding them for what they did. A contract is for anticipating what they're going to do.
Well said.
But yet it all ends up being the same thing.
Wow, Don, that was poetry.
He's going to have a good game today doing
play-by-play.
You can tell,
right?
He really is, yeah. You can feel it.
Did you hear his calls from over the weekend?
No, I didn't. Not one second of it.
Wow.
I was in Tampa.
Don't be proud of it. I understand you're busy, but play, don't be proud.
Anthony, play Michael the go-ahead goal, please, in that Ranger game. This is a beautiful call, Michael. You shouldn't miss this. This guy's maybe at maybe the best he's ever been right now. I don't want to say the best, but he's the first goal.
Rangers trying to center, but it kicks back out behind the net. Lafreniere to the far corner, climbs the blue line, gets it back out to the point with a shot, deflection, and it's scored. And guess who in front of the net? It's Chris Kreider, his 41st goal of the year, and the Rangers get the 1-0 lead on just their eighth shot of the game.
Listen, I'll say it straight out, okay?
He's the best.
He's the best. Nobody better.
And by the way, what are we?
I love the guy. Has the same birthday as me. He's trying to push Kenny out. Kenny's got enough gigs.
And by the way, talk about a return from injury. I mean, Don 2 weeks ago, the only thing he could actually muster on the air was backting mailing, and now you hear him
go backting mailing.
And he's killing.
You know, 5 days in the hospital. We didn't know how long we'd have him. And
I think backting mailing was COVID, Don. Now, listen, if it wins, I'll take the win. But there is an excuse behind that, because I think that was COVID, Don.
Wow. Let's take a brief time out and towel off. We'll take some phone calls on the Judge situation. Also, MLB Network looks like it's really thrown a lot of Yankee Twitter's hate right back in their face. We'll tell you what they did when we get back right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so I was in the gift shop here on Sunday. And this nice FedEx driver was there with his family. Big Yankee fan. Great to talk with him. But his wife did not like Gerrit Cole. Mm. And he was trying to convince her how good Gerrit Cole was. And then he said to me, can you tell her that Gerrit Cole's good? And I said, yeah, he's one of the best. He finished second in the Cy Young Award. And she would have none of it. She said, how'd he pitch against the Red Sox in the last game? How about those big games he pitched down the show? Well, he was hurt, but, well, if he was pitching, he was fine, which isn't, you know, it's a good point by her. But MLB Network just listed the top pitchers in baseball, and they listed Gerrit Cole as the second best pitcher in all of baseball. So for Yankee fans that are bemoaning the fact that they have Gerrit Cole, you know, just relax. This guy's as good as they get. Now, can he be the otherworldly pitcher that he was with the Astros and, you know, that first year with the Yankees? We'll see. We'll see. I'm sure that over the winter he somehow came to grips with, you know, no sticky stuff anymore and probably worked out a way to get a better grip on the ball. But this guy's great. Yankee fans think, you know, you're going to be Ron Guidry in 1978 every year, 25-3 with a 1.7 something ERA. No, that's not the way it works. This guy is one of the greatest pitchers in baseball, and MLB Network is saying he's the second best in the game.
But you can't blame Yankee fans for being frustrated when he didn't come up big at Fenway in the wild card game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to understand where they're coming from. I get your logic. He is one of the best pitchers in baseball. He clearly is and will be, I would think, for maybe not the length of the contract, but certainly for a majority of it. The sticky stuff notwithstanding, but even with the sticky stuff, he's still an outstanding pitcher, but Yankee fans are disappointed. He was brought here to win that game and didn't.
Now, if you can tell me, Don, right now, and there's no, if you say one thing wrong, you're out. Can you name the top five pitchers in baseball, starting pitchers, in order?
No.
And if you do, I'll give you $1,000. Go.
Well, is DeGrom one?
DeGrom is one. You got Cole is two. Now you just need 3, 4, and 5.
Oh, man.
And one wrong and you're out. So we can make this clear.
Yeah, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it.
Try.
Because obviously Scherzer's not on it anymore.
Well, you're wrong. He's number three. I'm going to give you that.
Really?
Yeah.
All right,
I'll give you that.
Give it to me. I'm wrong. No, because, Peter, I was saying he wasn't on it.
No.
No, I'm out.
I'm giving it to you. Give me 4 and 5.
I can't. Just try. I don't.
You give up.
I don't want to give up. It's just I don't want to spend the whole time.
All right. Walker
it's been a long
Buehler.
Off-season, Michael.
Walker Buehler, number four.
Okay, that makes sense.
And Brandon Woodruff, number five.
Would not have gotten that.
That's why I offered the 1,000. I knew you wouldn't get him.
I was looking online because somebody had tweeted out, I guess Bill James gave his top 10 pitchers. And, like, DeGrom was five, and I just shut it off. I was like, all right, shut up.
Well, it's hard to make him.
Your day is done.
But he's working off of last year, and although DeGrom, when he pitched, was one of the greatest pitchers of all time, he didn't pitch a lot down the stretch. He didn't.
I know, but it wasn't
last 2 months
of ineffectiveness. He was hurt.
I get it, but you know what? If a guy pitched three games, three shutouts, would he be?
But he had him five, so he couldn't be that affected by the injuries, Michael. He had him five.
Who did he have as one?
I don't. Again, I saw DeGrom at five and just got sick to my stomach.
Oh wow! Rounding out the top 10: Zach Wheeler 6, Lance Lynn 7, Shane Bieber 8, Corbin Burns 9, and Lucas Giolito of the White Sox 10.
Okay,
there you go.
So it was probably some, you know, analytic-driven thing that had DeGrom not be number one. And listen, I could live with DeGrom maybe not, you know, certainly last year because of the injury. But when he was healthy, he was
great. Yeah, he was one of the best ever.
But he also didn't pitch for a good portion. So if you didn't have him in the top 10, you could say, well, because of the injuries. But if you have him in the top 10 and you have him five, how much could the injuries really have affected things? But whatever. I feel good that the Mets have two of the top three pitchers, according to MLB Network, in their rotation. That's pretty good.
Well, how about New York has the three top pitchers in baseball pitching in New York?
I said I feel good.
No, I mean, but New York should feel great.
No, but listen, it's great.
Let's go to the phones before Don starts yelling. Let's go to Sal in Long Island. Sal.
Hey, Michael, Don, and Peter. I haven't talked to you guys in a while. How you doing?
Hey, good, man, how are you?
I miss you guys. Three of my four favorite people in the world.
And who's the other one?
Andrew.
Okay,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
He's a great guy, too.
You guys have a great staff, let me tell you.
We really Thank do. You.
But let me just, before I mention about Aaron, let me just say one thing about Peter. Peter, you mentioned about Dom with those calls. I mean, everybody who hasn't been listening, Dom, you know, you and Doc are my wish. That's what I want to hear and I want to see, you and Doc. And I wish ESPN or somebody would get their ass off. I'm sorry about saying that.
Oh, come on.
But I'm sorry. But he needs to be on the air, Michael, during the playoffs. This is a voice we're missing.
All right, so I got to ask you what Don always asks, all right? Who are you taking out? Somebody's got to go.
That's right.
I know.
Who are you taking out? You want Mushuza now, don't you?
I hate to see your buddy go, but he's got so much work, like you said. But
he's not on ESPN, Kenny.
Oh, that's right.
He's saying
he's
who on ESPN you taking out to have the
And
it's
not
Mushuza. Mushuza is unbelievable.
Okay. Yeah, I can't take – no.
All right, so what's your Aaron Judge
point? All right, anyway, I want to tell you – I think, like I was telling Andrew, I think 6 years at 180 for Aaron. I know Andrew's saying he wants more. But, Michael, are we going to roll the dice and wonder if he's going to go free agency after this year? Or are we going to just say we'll take a chance at $30 million? But, I mean, I know he's injury prone, but I don't understand. Well, don't you think he should take that? I think that's a reasonable thing.
No, he wouldn't take it. $30 million a year? I think you got to get closer to 40, in my opinion. I really do. It's when you become a free agent. Do you know that when Juan Soto becomes a free agent in 2 years, he's going to get $50 million a year?
And he's going to be way younger than Judge.
$50 million a year. He's way younger. And I'm telling you, six for 180 is not going to get it done, in my opinion. If it does, the Yankees would grab it. Yankees would grab it tomorrow. Would Aaron Judge grab it? I don't think so. I mean, the paradigm is different than it was. When Max Scherzer at 38 years old gets $43 million, all of a sudden, it all changes, doesn't it?
I mean, this is the way I would play it if I were the Yankees. I'd offer him the six-year deal at, I don't know, whatever you're going to give him, 40 a year. And if he says no, all right, then we'll see what you get in free agency, and then you're the New York Yankees, right? So if you really don't want to lose him, well, then you'll match whatever offer somebody else gives. It's risky, but there's also the possibility he gets hurt this year, and then you have more evidence that he's someone that maybe you're not going to give a long-term contract to. I think I do not cave during the season. If I'm going to cave, let me cave during free agency.
Yeah, but once you get to free agency, then all bets are off. And you, now the Yankees have to worry about the guy across the river, and they never used to. He will spend just to make that statement. And the Yankees do have, the limits of where they would go. That's why you want to get it done before he becomes a free agent. Because then you're bidding against all 29 other teams.
I know, but you're the Yankees, right? So if you really wanted to keep him, he's the face of your franchise. He's coming off an MVP year. You can match.
But then Stevie, to see how he plays. Then Stevie goes up another million. I mean, it's like a game of chicken that somebody has no fear of death.
But he did say he wants to be a Yankee, expects to be a Yankee. I mean, and he's going to turn around and sign a deal with the Mets?
Why? But he also said it's a business.
No, I understand it's a business, and he also potentially, Michael, after the 6 year contract is up, can maybe sign another one if he's still healthy and he can stay a Yankee. It's not like you're going to retire at 36 years old. And I know these players say one thing and do another, but I do think there's some risk to giving him the contract. What ends up happening if he gets hurt again? Then you're going to wonder, because look what happened the last time you gave contract extensions. You gave a contract extension to Hicks. He got hurt. Gave a contract extension to Severino. Gets hurt. Can you afford to have that happen with Judge?
Well, as long as it's not a forever injury, I mean, if he comes back, but you don't want to, you don't have, I know what you're saying. You don't want him to play 80 games a year.
Well, but Peter, it becomes like Carson Wentz. It's not the same injury, but it always seems to be something that every other year keeps him out for a chunk of time. That would concern me. Long term. That's why I would have loved for them to play. All right, let's see how you do this year. And you end up playing 150 games, competing for an MVP like you did last year. All right, I'll give you what you want. But isn't that
what they should do? Like,
I thought so.
But if this is a team that has decided that they are not going to be a really multiple mega deal kind of team, right? They're going to have their Cole, Stanton, Judge. If that's the case, and you're not going to do more than that anyway, which, Michael, it appears that is where they're at, why not run the risk of letting Judge play out an entire season And if he's great, give him the absolute max anyone would give him. You're not going to do it for anyone else.
But you don't know what the absolute max is. You've got people that might be irresponsible about it. So if you do that, then you're signing on to being irresponsible.
Yeah, but let's be logical, too. If for some reason he has an injury-plagued season again, is there somebody out there that's going to give him a 7-8-year deal, pay him until he's in his late 30s when before he was 30 he was getting hurt? I mean, I know Steve Cohen wants to spend like a drunken sailor, but would that be a logic? As great as it would be as a Met fan to steal somebody from the Yankees, do I want, you know, now the Mets have a DH, but they could have an aging Alonso they might want to have as a DH later on in his career. I mean, do you want to have a 37, 38-year-old Aaron Judge on your team just because you wanted to steal him from the Yankees?
Well, but it's not just the Mets. The Giants print money, and he's from that part of the country. And then you've got the listen, the Yankees probably could pay him the most if they'd like, if they want to go past what they think is responsible. They certainly have the capability to do it, but do they want to do it? They have drawn lines in the sand before.
And that's why I think you draw a line in the sand. You make it, I'm not giving you, I'll give you what you want. I'll give you 40 years for six. If you want more than that, then go test free agency, see what you can do. I would split the difference. I make him an offer, a really good offer. But then I'm not going to get pushed beyond my limit just because I'm afraid he's going to test free agency and some, you know, wacky owner ends up giving him a 7-8-year contract. And then you can make the decision later on. And maybe something happens during the course of the season that kind of changed the complexion of things.
Now, because we're a little bit more mature than Don, Peter, I'm going to give you Bill James' entire top 10. That Don just stopped listening at DeGrom at number 5. Okay. Scherzer's number 1.
Come on.
Burns number 2. Freed, number 3. Bueller, number 4. DeGrom, 5. Ray, 6, Robbie Ray. Gerrit Cole, 7. Urias, 8. Wheeler, 9. Suarez, 10. Don wants no part of it.
Tell me that's not a garbage list.
Bill James is the father of analytics.
All right, you know what? George Washington was the father of our country.
Doesn't mean you want to show up right now.
Yeah, what good's it doing now? George,
well, George,
what do you
dead
think,
now.
George? Well, Bill James is dead to me. How
about
that?
Well, and by the way, and Don, if George showed up and you said, George, we got to talk to you about this COVID vaccine, he'd go, what's COVID? And then he'd go, what's a vaccine?
Come on. I know, Michael, you don't like to ruffle feathers. You might run into Bill James at Fenway this year.
Bill James is really a bright guy.
I'm not saying he's not bright, but that list is garbage. Tell me, what adjective would you use to describe that list?
I think it's compelling.
Oh, man.
So let me ask you a question. If Andrew got Bill James on the air, you'd say to the godfather of stats, your list is garbage. That's what you'd say to him.
Well, what, I'd have to now. I just said it. How would it look if we had him on? And I'd say, well, your list is very compelling, Bill. Tell me more. I just called it garbage. I got to say it's garbage.
Wow.
And I do think it's garbage because I think he's sprinkling in all the I'm smarter than everybody else.
He is.
I'm playing three-dimensional chess. You're playing with yourself. I mean, that's all it really comes down to. I'm done with him. I don't even want to hear about Bill James.
He
okay?
went away from, you know, did you notice what happened there, Peter? He went away from Tonka Trucks.
Oh, no, he went somewhere else.
Yeah, he went somewhere else.
I wanted to make it a little bit more clear how I felt about the situation. I apologize. But
no, we're good. Last couple of days, we're going places that we've never gone
yeah,
before.
Yeah, no, it's true. You know what? Maybe it's time for me to walk away.
You know what? I think you're right.
Doesn't work for us, Peter.
I know. And no one cares.
Oh, there's a big Ian Rappaport reporting the Cowboys are re-signing the punter Brian Anger. 3 years, $9 million.
You got to be something other than a punter when your last name's Anger.
Well, you can kick the ball with anger.
Mm. He's a punter.
Let's take a brief timeout. Don's getting annoying right now. 1-800-919-3776. More of your phone calls when we get back on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Let's go to Drew in Brooklyn. Drew.
Hey, Michael, Don, Peter, how are you guys?
Great.
Good.
You?
I'm good. Nice, beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Listen, Michael, I got a quick question about Stanton. With 6 years left on his deal, I was wondering if you thought, you know, not this year, maybe even not next year, but with 4 years left on his deal, would they consider trading him to a National League team that can now use him as a DH?
Well, I think they would consider trading anybody, Drew, but he has a blanket no-trade clause. You can't trade him, and he doesn't want to be traded. I mean, remember, the Marlins had a deal with the Cardinals and the Giants,
yeah.
And he said no to both. Said no to both. He only agreed to go to the Yankees, so I don't know if he'd ever agree to go anywhere. And the Yankees like him a lot, and if he stays healthy, he's a great player. So I don't know if they would trade him, even if he could be traded. But to say they should trade him, well, it's up to him. When players have leverage, they get things, and one of the things they get is a no-trade clause.
Right, and you know, it may be he would waive it for the Giants now or the Cardinals now, but that might not be the teams that are interested in him when that day comes. Yeah, so I don't want to stay stuck with him because he's been a good player for them recently, but you know, Michael, the next time he struggles, everybody's going to be killing him and wanting him gone. Just the fact that he's got 6 years left is obnoxious, but you know, he's been productive the last couple of years, especially in the playoffs 2 years ago.
And didn't he hit two home runs in the, Red Sox game yesterday?
So I should say both years,
yeah. Mike in Delaware. Mike?
Yes.
You're on.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Ready to go.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Hey there.
This is Mike. I'm from Delaware. I'm originally from the Bronx. So
okay.
I'll be 75 next month. So I've been a lifelong Yankee fan. I've seen the good, the bad, the ugly. But I'm going to call this team indifferent. Now, Michael, keep saying the Yankees don't want to go over the threshold. So if a team goes over the threshold and they win a World Series, are they going to make money?
But it's not about – first of all, they're over two thresholds already. They've gone over the threshold many times, then they go back and reset. It's not about the money, Mike. You lose draft picks. You lose international signing money. There's a lot of things you lose when you're a repeat offender. That's what people don't get. They just think, well, he doesn't want to pay the tax. No, it's not that. It's also the future of your team and the ability to draft and draft where you're supposed to draft. They take draft picks away.
So if a free agent, say Johnny Bench, or a great catcher became available, the Yankees would not touch. We can't expect the Yankees to sign any free agents no matter who they are.
Well, that's not true, Mike. They signed Gerrit Cole. They went over the threshold.
Let me ask you a question.
How much money do you want them to spend? They spent $254 million. How much more?
Wait, I agree that they shouldn't have signed any of these free agents. I just want to see a good team.
Well, you can't tell me this is not a good team, Mike.
No, seriously, I've defended the Yankee fans.
You don't think it's a good team?
You're not a Yankee fan.
No.
You're a fan of the winning. You're not a Yankee fan. You're a fan of the winning. Because if you think this team is bad, man, then you would just have a warped
perception.
Maybe he's not using what a good baseball team is.
Wait a minute. I'm not saying it's a bad team.
Well, that's what you said.
You said it's not good. You said it's not a good team.
It's not a championship caliber team to me. Only time will tell.
Yeah, right, that's the way seasons go. There's one team that's a sure thing right now that would be a championship-level team, and that's the Dodgers. That's it. That might be the best lineup that's ever been put together. So what everybody – the people that don't like the way this Yankee team's put together, they don't want to suffer through 162 games. They want a sure thing.
Yeah, that's
– Is this team a sure team? No, it's not. I explained yesterday. And that's my one problem with the way the Yankees have been put together. For $254 million – there should be many, many fewer question marks than there are.
Right.
But this team has the ability to be a really, really excellent team. And has the ability to be an 87-win team.
I do think it's frustrating to Yankee fans, and I get it. That's why I defend them. That for the third highest payroll, there should be an expectation that they're going to be better than what the expectation is because of the fact that the Blue Jays may be better, the Rays may be better. And those are teams that do not have the payroll that the Yankees do. So I get a Yankee fan's like, well, if you've got the third highest payroll, why not just have the first highest payroll and be the best team? But to sit there and then turn it around as if this is some kind of garbage team that's going to finish under 500, give me a break. It's still an outstanding team that's going to go to the playoffs and still, you know, could win a championship, Michael. They could. I don't know if I'd predict them to, But I wouldn't be shocked if they did. Well, there's a lot of good. There's a lot of talent on this team. But like you said, they want a slam dunk. They want 125 wins, sweep everybody in the playoffs, and win the next 10 straight World Series. Otherwise, they're not very good. Come on, you've got to. That's not fair.
Well, I just think sometimes callers struggle to use the right words. I think being perpetually disappointed at this point is fair, but that's not the same as not good. The team's good. You know what the problem with this team is? It's been just good.
No,
that's the problem.
No, because for a long time, the World Series was almost a lock. And they lived with, you know, losing in 01 and losing in 03 because, hey, sometimes that happens. And I understand the frustration of having to settle for a wild card and then losing said wild card to the hated Boston Red Sox or losing the division to the Rays, who shouldn't even be a bug under your shoe. So I understand that frustration, but then to extrapolate it out that, well, this team isn't good, what, you that because it's not guaranteed, you're frustrated? I'm sorry, nothing's a guarantee. Nothing at all.
When Mike said this team's not good, and then Don said you think this team is bad, I didn't say that. Well, if it's not good, then what is it?
Yeah.
Is it average? Now, if you want to say I don't think this team is great, well, you can make the point. But to say the team's not good, well, you don't really know what you're seeing. This is a really good team. Is it a championship team? I don't know. I have no idea. I would say right now, blatant honesty, I don't think it's a championship-level team. Can it get there? Remember, they make trades in July all the time. Yes, it can. But to say it's a bad team, I'm sorry. You're spoiled, and you think every year is going to be 1998. It's not.
And in the beginning of the season, you know, was or even in the first half of the season over the last couple of years, when the Nationals won, when the Braves won. Listen in the background, Michael. You hear the organ?
I do.
It was playing the Michael K. Show theme song.
Oh, it was?
It didn't sound the same.
Can we hear it again? We need a warning.
Well, I don't know how I can. I'll wave to the guy, see if he can play.
Ray Rowe.
But, do you like, Don, remember in baseball when you missed a sign, take your hands and ask for it again?
you got to reset.
Reset.
We'll reset. We'll take a brief timeout. Hopefully they'll come back with the theme song if Don has any pull at the rock. It's K. LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Mayor Adams today continues to double down. And everything I've heard and everyone I've spoken to, they believe that it's not going to be an issue. I mean, that's the level of confidence that I've heard. And this is what Adams said during a press conference this morning. Right now, we're going to take some complaints. But when this is all said and done, people are going to realize this is a thoughtful administration, and we got it right. So baseball, basketball, businesses, all of those things, they have to wait until that layer comes. We're going to do it the right way. We're going to follow the science. We're going to make the right decision. And in New York, no matter what you do, this is 8.8 million people and 30 million opinions. So you're never going to satisfy New Yorkers, so you just must go with the logic, your heart, and the science. Does that sound like a guy who's lifting it on April 7th?
He also said there are businesses that are excited and happy that the mandate's in place because they feel like they can go to work and be safe. He doesn't sound like a man that in a week's time is going to say the mandate's been lifted. So my only guess, Michael, and I guess it's an educated one based on the facts that have been presented, any baseball person that said it's not going to be a problem is saying that because they know their players are getting vaccinated.
Maybe you're right. You've been saying that. Maybe you're right. But why would players get vaccinated when they wouldn't do it last year?
Because it's going to cost them a lot of money and a lot of playing time. I'm going to stick by it. Peter, you remember me saying it. There's not going to be any Kyries in baseball.
Well, how do we end up closing the strike? People didn't want to miss games, right? Push comes to shove, people don't want to lose money. There were some people there who are rich enough to fight it, but for the most part, in the end, everyone said, you know what, we should play. And, Don, I don't see this being any different. I think you're right.
Now, yesterday on the show, I mentioned that I didn't think the Yankees were in on any of the free agent shortstops. I just don't think they had any intention of signing any of them. Now, Brian Cashman does his due diligence and touches in with agents. Who knows? Maybe a guy wants a one-year deal or whatever the case may be. Well, Dave and Rick on the DiPietro and Rothenberg vehicle from 5 to 8, that's what they said to what I said.
That's negligence is what it is. Seager, fine. Story, fine. Correa got, in essence, a one-year, $35 million deal. If you were not in on that at all, that is franchise malpractice is what it is.
You think that's what Yankees fans want to hear, though? I'm saying, like, oh, yeah, and then Connor Falefa will be fine. I mean, you think that's what Yankees fans want to hear? He'll be fine?
No.
No, that's not what they want to hear. I understand Seager. I mean, that's a long-term commitment. That's a lot of money.
I understand the long-term deal ones that
Story,
they didn't want
same
to get
thing.
Into bed with those.
I have a hard time believing that if offered a similar deal that Carlos Correa would have said no to the Yankees.
I know what they're saying. If it was a straight one-year deal, I would say that's cool. But it's not a straight one-year deal. It's only a one-year deal for Carlos Correa. If he breaks his leg, God forbid, today, it's a three-year deal. It's a three-year deal. So all the power goes to the player. So to say that it's malfeasance, Dave stealing words that I use, is malfeasance in itself, simply because of the fact they checked in on everybody. They did their due diligence on everybody. I don't think they were that hot for any of them. I think they like Story. They didn't like him for 6 years, and they were concerned about his elbow. I know they like Correa as a player, but whispers are here around baseball. A lot of people in baseball are concerned about his back. Would it hold up for a long-term deal? Now, if his back blows out this year, then the Twins are on the hook for over $100 million. If Correa came to the Yankees, I'd do a straight one-year deal. You know what? I think they might have done it.
Well, why would he take the deal the way it's structured with Minnesota?
Why?
Instead of just taking a one-year deal. Because the once it became known that Boris wanted him to sign a one-year deal so that he could get the money for the long-term deal, the one-year deal was in play. Then he goes to Minnesota and signs his three-year deal where he can opt out any of the three. So you're telling me if the Yankees went to him and said a straight one-year deal, that they wouldn't be in the running for that?
No, because he has a three-year deal, Don. The Twins are responsible for those 3 years. If Carlos Correa gets hurt, that's why he takes a three-year deal the way it's structured, then he's going to opt in. If he has a great year, which I think he will, and doesn't get hurt, then he will definitely opt out and it becomes a one-year deal. But for Carlos Correa, it's 3 years unless he changes his mind.
Right. Which, you know, you would think, obviously injury is something that can come into play here, that he'll have a great year and opt out. That's probably how it's going to go. But the Yankees, like you said, I guess just didn't want to take a chance that his back goes out and he opts back in. And now, you know, Volpe's stuck for now a second year of not being able to play shortstop. But if they made – you made it seem like they weren't interested. But did they make the phone call and offer the one-year deal and be told no?
I think that they tested the waters.
Well, then that's interested then, isn't it? I mean, we're playing semantics.
Brian Cashman tested the waters on Bryce Harper. They had no intention of signing him. He made the call on Machado. That's what makes a great GM. You make all the calls and you do your due diligence. I don't think when push came to shove, they wanted to sign a shortstop because they believe in the kids they have coming up.
But why wouldn't you want to sign him to a one-year deal?
Maybe
Volpe can't sit there for 1 year?
Why
not make him an – I guess that's the issue, is that being in – to me, offering him a one-year contract worth whatever is being in.
But
and
we
then
don't
him
know if
saying
they did or
no, then he made you out. Why wouldn't the Yankees make that offer?
We don't know if they did.
Right,
I mean,
but
it's like the guy that's buying a guy or gal that's buying a luxury car. They're in on it at a certain price, and they're out if it's straight retail.
Right, but I think you know what I'm saying, Peter. If I offer Correa a 1-year contract worth $40 million, say,
yeah,
then I'm in.
Yeah.
So when you can say, well, the Yankees weren't in on any of the shortstops, if they offered Correa a 1-year deal, they were in on one of the shortstops.
But again, I'll bring up the car. If you go and you get a Bentley and you're in if you get it for $50,000.
That's not really.
But it's not realistic because it's going to cost you $350,000.
But you said they weren't in on any of the shortstops.
They were not in on
they
it in any realistic way is what I'm saying. They would not sign any of them the long-term deals. They want next
right.
year to be no, open.
Well, but that was never really on the table. That shows logic because of the Volpe situation. But, again, we're playing the semantics game, but I would think you're in if you offered them a deal. If you didn't offer them a 1-year deal. Then I think that kind of is malpractice. Why wouldn't you? Maybe you'd say, you know what? I think the Yankees are a better team. I think I'd put better numbers up at Yankee Stadium as opposed to Target Field. I'm going to go and have a monster year with the Yankees and maybe get a chance to play in a World Series and cash in. I mean, you got to at least make the offer, Michael.
Again, we'll never know if they did or didn't.
Right, and all I'm saying is if they did, then they were in. I don't think it's that unrealistic that he could have signed a 1-year deal with the Yankees.
Not when he has $105 million guaranteed with the Twins. Why would he sign a 1-year deal with the Yankees?
Because you know how these players think, Michael.
No,
they're never going to get hurt. They're
they
invincible.
No, they don't. That's why he signed the contract that he signed. He wants protection in case he's hurt. If you sign a 1-year deal, you get hurt. There's no more money after that. If he has a debilitating injury right now, he's got $105 million coming to him.
True.
He would not with a 1-year deal. And Boris wanted one thing. He wanted to have the top contract ever given to a position player. That's what he got. I'm sure the Yankees would have given him $35 million a year for 1 year. He's that good of a player. But for a 3-year deal the way it's structured,
yeah,
but I don't think they're going to play
him. I just don't think – listen, maybe if you don't make the offer because you think he's going to say no, I don't think that's good business either. I still make the offer and let him tell me no. I don't sit there and go, he's not going to take this because of all the reasons you gave. I still make the offer.
And we don't know if they did or not. Maybe Boris, who's running the show, said, this is what it's going to take, minimum. And they said, well, okay, we're out. Again, I don't know what happened. Maybe they did make him an offer. But he went. This is the way Boris wanted the contract structured.
I also have a question, Michael. Why did you feel that segment this morning was an attack on you? You said they went after you.
Well, because it was going after me because he's kind of like saying, well, the Yankees couldn't do that. It was malfeasance, so that I was misreporting. I don't think they were interested.
I don't think that – but, Peter, you think that was their motivation by the segment?
Have you just met me? Everything is a personal affront.
But that doesn't mean I have to take it as something that you should have taken as a personal affront. I disagree.
But
I think they took what you said as fact because you're the Yankee guy.
Right.
And then disagreed with the Yankees not doing what they were supposed to do. To me, that was an attack on Cashman and the Yankees, not you. Not everything's about you.
I think it is. I personally think it is.
You know he's going to take it that way, Don. Come on.
The Yankees lost to the Blue Jays today 9-2 in Dunedin.
Quick game, though, right?
Very quick.
That was
the ones I do
star.
Go over 3 hours.
Now, why don't they broadcast these road games, man? You're down there. How far was that?
Yeah, how far is the road game?
Well, it's not a point of how far it is for me. Dunedin's right here. It's like 45 minutes. It's just it's costly to do road games. And they're at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. You think they're getting big ratings at 1 o'clock in the afternoon?
See, this is the Yankees being cheap again, Peter. This is where the fans get it from. They
you
can't
show
afford
me,
to broadcast
you show
road
me,
games.
All right,
tweet
show
that!
Me,
print
now,
that!
Now you guys are being real nozzles. Go check the 30 teams, see what 30 teams do.
So you don't think that it was possible that I was kidding around?
But not even consideration?
You know how stick-up-the-butt executives are? You think they think that you're joking? So I'll get a phone call sometime today. Well, why did you go? I didn't say it. Don did. Well, why didn't
you
control
them? These are all the executives at Yes and ESPN. I'm looking right into the camera. I'm looking at you.
Oh, talk right to them, Don.
I'm looking right at you. Flip. Because he's really the only one I know. Is that you got a problem with something I said? You call me. ESPN, Bristol, you got a problem with something I said? You call me. Don't call Ryan. Don't call Michael. Call me.
Lose the number.
I'm responsible for everything that comes out of my mouth. Nobody makes me say anything. Michael cannot control me. I'm not even in the same state as Michael. So
mentally,
if I say
emotionally,
something, am I wrong, Peter? Call me. Don't call Michael and say, well, why did Don say that? Well, Michael should say, well, you call Don. Here's his number.
Hi, who am I speaking to, please?
No, well, the problem is, Don.
Who's this?
It feels like when they do that, it's like you don't even count.
Right.
You're just an underling of Michael.
That's
I'm a minion. I'm
too,
Charlie
Peter.
McCarthy.
Cause, hello?
Because when I say something bad, I mean, am I right? The executives at the radio station talked to Andrew. Why did you let Kay say that? Like he has his hand up my back. Everybody gets blamed in
true.
Life.
True. That is, you know what?
No, I get
that's
that.
A fair response.
But in this situation where they're calling the talent directly to complain about something Don LaGreca or Peter Rosenberg said, that's just lazy.
Why can't you control your guys?
But I'm not your guy.
We're all our guys.
No, I am not connected to you. I work on your show.
I'm Sully.
But no, you don't. You're not my boss. You sound like my mom. Why doesn't Michael give you the day off? Because Michael doesn't have the responsibility to give me the day off. Another power. And Michael also doesn't have the power to what I say or what my opinion is. Can't control it. You know you can't control me, Michael. I go rogue. Peter, forget about it. He's on his own.
Peter, you know what this means?
And it is insulting.
You know what this means?
What?
It might be time for me to go.
No. It's the opposite. Maybe it's
time
for Don to go.
Because I can't even control the words that are coming out of Don's mouth. It might be time for me to go.
Well, how would – so, hold on.
I should have just pulled the plug on the broadcast.
If you can't control the words like we're a marionette, then you might as well just walk away?
I might have to.
Well, then you might as well just walk away.
Maybe, you know what, or maybe I should just take my name off the show so I don't have the responsibility for the words.
Then it would just be the show.
Right.
I don't like our odds.
Do you want to know what this show is without Michael? It's called The Show.
Yeah, so if you get a call, Michael, I give them my number. Give them the home number, too. Give them all my numbers.
I don't even know your home number. I don't have your hard line.
I'll tell because you're pretty good with this, you're going to get a call. I'll text you my email and my home phone.
Let's
and my mom's
a brief
phone,
time
just
out.
In case I'm visiting her.
Maybe I'll get the phone call right now. That should be good. Bart Scott said something outrageous today.
Yeah.
We'll see if Don feels the way he just sounded in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
Troy Johnson on Twitter. I love snarky tough guys behind the protection of social media. He goes, okay then the Yankees are inept. I came here today just to hear Yankee boy. Yeah, still waiting for the Apple Watch thing though. Hey, clown, we did a whole segment on it yesterday. I'm sure if you don't listen 4 hours a day, you should. Maybe you'd be educated. And we talked about what could be in the letter and the ramifications. It could have ramifications for Manfred. It could have ramifications for the Yankees. It could have ramifications for all Yankee fans who are outraged that the Astros actually admitted to cheating in 2017. Remember, this letter is about 2015, before the commissioner's office said anything was right or wrong. That's why the Astros got slammed down hard. See, there's a big difference, Troy.
The Michael K. Show.
Can I see?
No, you can't.
All right.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, yeah. What a show so far. I mean, we go into every show with high expectations, and this is probably outdone anything that we could have imagined. That's how
you think
it
so?
Is. Yeah. I think it's that great. That great. So have you come up with your teams that are going to make it?
Well, I didn't know if you still cared the way you moved on, but.
Well, we have a break. It's called commercial breaks.
I like Buffalo, Cincy, Indianapolis. We'll get back to the wild card. And I still like Kansas City to win the West.
Yeah, I do too.
And then after that, the Raiders and Broncos will fight for a wild card. Whoever doesn't win between Tennessee and Indy will fight for a wild card. Maybe Baltimore's fighting for it, but they're certainly not a lock. But yeah, I still like Casey. And maybe New England's fighting for a wild card. We'll see.
And the Chargers.
But and the Chargers will be in there, but I still like the Chiefs to get in.
Very quickly, a 98.7 ESPN Hoops update brought to you by Rutgers University. Choosing the right business school will put you on a career path to make a difference. Choose the number one public business school in the Northeast, Rutgers Business School. Very big win yesterday for the Nets. Impressive win against a really good team. And Durant was just outstanding again. He's just so great. And, of course, the game was at Barclays Center. Of course, there was no Kyrie. But Stephen A. Smith has a hot take on what KD needs to do.
The Nets will only have Kyrie Irving at their disposal in three of their final 10 regular season games with a playoff berth on the line. But they may not have him at their disposal for half of their playoff games. But they could get bounced out early. KD hasn't uttered a syllable of frustration about any of that. But Kyrie Irving could change it all. He does have the power. No wait for the city or the mayor to act to save your season. Kyrie can end the restrictions all by his damn self. It's time, long past time, for KD to talk about that. At least mention it. And how about achieving a miracle? How about talking some sense into Kyrie Irving? It's the chip, bro. That's what's on the line.
Now, I hear what Steven's saying, and I don't know if Peter and Don agree with this. I look at that relationship from the outside in, and I'd say that Kyrie is the alpha of the two. He got him to come to Brooklyn. That wasn't KD's original choice, I would think. We know his representative loves the Knicks. Everybody thought that that was going to get him to the Knicks, but Kyrie wanted to play in Brooklyn, and they're real close. So I don't think, Peter, that KD has it in him to sit down to Kyrie and say, get the shot. He's not going to do it. And I don't think Kyrie would listen. I don't. You don't think Kyrie knows that the fate of the team is resting on whether he gets a vaccination? And he's not going to do it. He's already lost over $10 million for not getting the shot. You think he's going to do it now?
I mean, that's clearly the nature of the relationship. It does not feel like that's what would happen here.
Right.
It doesn't.
Because what sense would it make? If you got the vaccination at the beginning of the year, you wouldn't have lost over $10 million, and you wouldn't be in this position where you're trying to, you know, move up in the play-in. You'd be in the first, second, or third spot in the conference. So all of a sudden, you're going to change your mind, and that money is gone forever. And then there was one other thing that I took notice of when KD said, you know, we have a large window for a championship. He's already giving up if Kyrie doesn't get back on the court. He's just saying, well, we can win next year or the year after that. We have a long window. This is a year. You'll never get back this year. They have a chance this year, too, if this man wants to play. And he doesn't want to play now. He doesn't want to play. He wants to be an advocate for the voiceless rather than help his team win a championship. That's it. And I can't say he's wrong.
No.
But when you're part of a team, I think it's bigger than just what your personal opinion is.
But at this point, he's been the voice for the voiceless now for how long?
And it has season.
And it hasn't changed anything. You know, and I'm not saying you got to give up, but at some point you say, all right, listen, I made this sacrifice. It was my heart was in the right place, but clearly the needle has not moved at all. And now I've got my teammates I've got to care about. And you know what? You can have a long window, Michael, but, you know, tomorrow's not promised to anybody. You could suffer a catastrophic injury. I mean, you just can't sit there and go, oh, don't worry about winning the championship next year or the year after that. You've got a chance to win the championship this year, right now. And I don't think you have to be, you know, the greatest leader of all time. You don't have to be, you know, Mark Messier captain to go talk to Kyrie and say, man, I followed you here. We've got a chance to do something really special. I appreciate the fact that you went out there and tried to be the voice for the voiceless, but it has not worked. The mandates are not going away. Those people did not get their jobs back. So at what point do you just say, all right, listen, now you got to focus on being a basketball player and being there for your teammates and go out there and win a championship that can be winnable if you're playing for us? Is it that wrong to say that? It's asking you to pin them up against the wall and say, just have the conversation.
It's interesting, too, because, like, if you really try to think about the principle of what Kyrie's fighting for, people not being forced to get vaccinated. You just made the point, Don. All these things have already happened. The jobs have been lost. People's lives have been affected. you have stood your ground, but you've also been paid half of a very handsome salary to do so. You know, you're not, I'm not saying I don't respect that he cares about something and wants to fight for it. But what I'm saying is, what is the principle at this point? You're showing that you're sticking with the people who also didn't want to get the vaccine, but you're still able to half work and be a millionaire.
Right.
How are you really standing with them? It's a valiant attempt, but you're not standing with them. You're still being paid to work.
I also think, Peter, he doesn't want to get the vaccine. I mean, he could stand on, you know, the he's the voice for the voice. He doesn't want to get the vaccine. He doesn't believe that he should get the vaccine.
And like I said, Michael, a million times, I watched the news. There were people that were marching, that were against the mandates, that admitted that they were vaccinated. They still protested the vaccine because they thought it was wrong that they were forced to have it. You can get the vaccine and still be a voice for the voiceless and go out there and petition and march and
that's
write
why I don't
letters.
Think he wants to get the vaccine. He just doesn't want to get it.
Well, then I think not to me, not to you, not to Peter, but if Kyrie has that if KD has that conversation with Kyrie, I think KD would be well within his right to say, I need to know why. I need you to give me a valid reason why.
I think that conversation's already been had.
I would probably think it was. And boy, what is that? What does that do if you're KD? Just like, man, I have no say here.
It's an individual choice, which I've always stood behind, and you could agree or disagree, but it is an individual choice, and that's why the voice for the voiceless thing, it sounds so honorable. I just don't think he wants to get the shot. He doesn't want to put that in his body.
But, you know, so KD asks him why.
He knows why. He's already told KD why.
But what if the answer is, because I just enjoy the attention. I just like the way it stirs people up. That's no kind of answer. What, is he afraid that spoons are going to stick to his chest?
I don't think he wants to get the vaccine. I don't think he wants that in his body. That's it. That's the reason.
Well, I mean, Michael, just you said it earlier in the show, and you listen to what the city is saying. I would think there's a better chance that on opening day in October or November, this is still a thing before it gets lifted before the playoffs.
Well, we'll see, because people that I respect are so sure. No. That this is happening, that it's not going to be an issue. I'm startled by how sure they are, how certain they are that by April 7th, there's not going to be an issue.
Well, you keep saying not going to be an issue, Michael, which means it goes either way, that it's going to be lifted or that the players are all going to get vaccinated. Do they tell you that the mandate will be lifted, or they keep telling you it's not going to be an issue?
They talk around it. It's a great question, Don. They talk around it and they go, "Don't worry, it's not going to be an issue."
And the specific reason for that is that they know that the players will eventually get vaccinated. Baseball, and correct me if I'm wrong, Peter, because you follow this. Baseball, for the most part, has been a very apolitical sport.
Yeah.
All right. So these guys are not going to be like Kyrie. They're not going to be a voice for the voiceless. They just don't feel like getting it. Until they absolutely have to. They didn't have to last year. And technically, they don't have to right now. But at some point, when they start losing money and they start losing games, now maybe Judge doesn't care because he's going to get an extension during the season. But if he wants to fight and not take that extension and be missing half the games and not be eligible to become a free agent, if Judge is indeed one of those guys, and the reason we assume that is because he hasn't answered whether he is or he isn't, you know, is Rizzo going to not get paid? If he still has not gotten vaccinated, or have these guys already been vaccinated and they're kind of just playing that role of why should I tell you? I didn't tell you before. I'm not going to tell you then. Or plan on getting the needle before opening day.
And
if they didn't get it by now, it's Tuesday, they may not be eligible for opening day.
But I did hear something last night that you could the way it works is if you get a vaccine and you promise them that you get the second one, that you would be able to go. You'd be able to play, I think. But we keep talking about the supposed Yankees, right?
Right.
That are not the Mets last year. Now, the team has turned over a little bit. The Mets last year had fewer than 50% of their players vaccinated. So that's good. They might not even be able to field a team if those players still exist. Now, Lindor has said he's vaccinated. I don't know who else. Max Scherzer has said he's vaccinated. But I heard yesterday rumors. I'm not going to give rumors on the air. But there are some big-time Met stars that are not vaccinated.
So why aren't they being asked the way Judge is being
asked? I don't know. Because the Mets, the Mets open a week later at home.
So?
Yeah, but
because
still,
then it becomes an issue when they open on the 15th.
Peter, doesn't it feel like we're kind of getting played? I think they're all vaccinated already.
I think you're wrong.
I would bet money Judge is vaccinated.
You would?
Yes.
Right now?
Because it was my theory from last week. I think he's trying to be a leader, and I think what he's trying to do is protect the guys that are unvaccinated by making it a thing that even vaccinated people tell you it's none of your business. And then when he goes there on opening day, then it'll look like, oh, maybe people who say it's none of your business, maybe people who say that I'm not going to tell you could still be vaccinated. He's got too much to lose. He is not that type of guy. He doesn't seem like to be a political guy. Doesn't seem to be that guy. I think he's already vaccinated. Because can he say it's not an issue?
He's not saying it's not an issue. People behind the scenes are saying it is not an issue.
Well, no, but what he said, the sound we played last week is this: I'm just focused on opening day. Well, how could you be focused on opening day when that's not even promised to you? So it is kind of our business when you're telling us that you're preparing for a game that you may not be allowed to play in. So I don't think he's not a dumb guy. He knows what he's saying. Listen, I could be dead wrong, and there's no way to prove it. I'm not going to say everybody. I believe everybody will be vaccinated in time for opening day or sometime around then. And if I had to bet, I'd say Judge is vaccinated.
I disagree.
I would never take that bet.
Me neither. I'm with Michael.
I don't know what he is, but I wouldn't be willing to bet it.
I certainly wouldn't be able to bet it because, Michael, Judge has never done anything since he's been here to be a lightning rod in any way.
No.
It's not part of his Jeter playbook. Yeah, he's a Jeter guy. He keeps it all close to the sleeve. I think if he's vaccinated, he comes right out, or people at least know he's not even asked about it. I think he's not vaccinated.
But here's my logic. Again, this is a guy that's going to be, once he signs that extension, I wouldn't be surprised within the next year he gets named the captain of the team. You don't think that's a great leadership move? He knows there's significant players unvaccinated, and those guys don't want to say anything. And for him to be vaccinated and be along with them by not saying anything, you can understand the logic behind that. Because, again, how could you be an intelligent man and say, I'm not focused on that right now, I'm just thinking about opening day, when opening day is not promised to you by the question that's being asked in the first place?
But maybe the people that a lot of us are hearing are so certain are telling him, don't worry about it.
No, but honestly, how would that look as a leader? I'm not even taking a side on the mandate.
But how
can Mayor Adams be that emphatic about it and then next week lift it when the numbers might actually spike?
It's a great point. He's going to look really bad because he is really digging in. And if all of a sudden he lifts it, and if you're the Nets and Kyrie Irving, Kyrie Irving has decided to lose $16 million, but he did lose $16 million, and then you're going to lift it in time for baseball season? You don't think the Nets are going to be a little chapped?
I can't see how Adams can save face by lifting the mandate. And I'm not saying that should be his motivation either way. He should follow the science, as he said. But following the science when the numbers have never been lower and now could potentially spike with the new variant that's in the tri-state area, how do you lift it then? And it's like you said, Michael, you wouldn't lift it for Kyrie. Why? Because it's the Nets and it's basketball, but this is almighty baseball and we have to have them play? That would be so unfair to Kyrie and all basketball players that got vaccinated because they wanted the chance to play. And the numbers were worse then than they would be now. Like, so I can't imagine that he would lift it. So, and they can't go to court. That's already been done. So how can anybody within baseball believe that this is going to be lifted in time for April 7th?
Let's go to Justin in North Arlington.
Hey, Justin. Guys, first time caller, long time listener.
Welcome aboard.
So I have a question. I kind of want your thoughts on this about the Kyrie Irving situation. Although I do believe part of the issue is the vaccination, him not wanting to get vaccinated, mm-hmm. I also think it comes from his history of injuries over the years. And I think that's part of the reason why he may also not choose to get the vaccination because he wants to be able to stay healthy. And he may think the best way to stay healthy is by only playing half a season and even into the postseason only playing half the games away and giving them the best chance to win the championship. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I don't think Kyrie is, you know, crying over the fact that he didn't play every single game. If this vaccine wasn't an issue, he probably wouldn't have played every single game. There would be load management. He has a history of missing some games. But you're saying giving a better chance. If he doesn't play half the playoff games, they're not winning. They're not winning a series. They're not.
I can't imagine.
There's just so much that Kevin Durant could do, and he is – you know how I feel about Durant. He's just an amazing player. There's so much he could do. He's going to need some help. And it doesn't look like Ben Simmons is giving him help.
Ben Simmons may not play until the playoffs.
He might not play in the playoffs. Let's go to Mel in New Jersey. Mel.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hey, Mel.
I think the mayor have a real big problem over here because, you know, it's not just about Kyrie or the baseball players. New York is a huge city. And, you know, a spread could happen quick in the school or at a job. So I understand why he wanted to have workers be vaccinated before they could come in. But and the fact that, you know, random people could come in without being vaccinated is a huge problem. But I think that the focus on Kyrie and the other players is a little bit too much because why Kyrie is actually doing this is for the people who already lost their jobs and can't get their jobs back and whatnot. So, you know, like when players boycott, I feel like sports media, they put it on the players instead of keeping it on the real issue. And every time, and this is brought up every day, so I agree with Kyrie doing this because now the conversation is always being brought up every single day.
Well,
and we
got
need a solution.
That's a fair point, Mel.
Totally.
But remember, he did this, and he's been doing it since. And 14,000 people have lost their job. 14,000 people, I believe. And I think that's the issue about taking this mandate away. You can't give those people their jobs back. Is it 14,000 or 1,400?
I think 1,000.
All right, 14,000 people have lost their job. Those jobs have been filled. So you cannot give them their jobs back. You don't think those people are going to be red hot? Mayor Adams, that's also the people he represents. So that is the big issue right here. That's the big issue. And this is a dumb rule. And when they wrote the rule, the fact that outdoor baseball players can't play if they're not vaccinated is stupid. It's stupid.
And Michael, it's 1,400.
How much is it?
1,400.
Okay. All right. And the fact that a visiting NBA team could have an unvaccinated player play in Barclays Center, and an unvaccinated person like Kyrie could sit in Barclays Center. It's asinine. It doesn't make sense.
Well,
that's where it all went awry.
I know, but it's almost as if you're having a party, right? And a bunch of Callie invites all of her friends over, right? But Callie's punished, is not allowed to have any cake, and all the other kids are having cake. It's like, well, why is it fair the kids are having cake? Callie's not having cake because you can control Callie. You can't control the other kids. That's what it comes down to. It looks silly, but it's controlling what you can control. But could there be a loophole in this, Michael? And you said that Randy Levine may try to negotiate it to where it's, all right, listen, I understand there's a mandate. Don't allow these players in the clubhouse. Don't allow these players to deal with the media. At least let them play. And then we'll figure some way. Maybe they dress in a separate area. Maybe they dress outside, whatever. We'll construct some kind of outdoor thing like they did with the dining. Like, is it possible that they can get around this mandate by letting them play but not letting them be indoors? And then that could be the separation between baseball and Kyrie. Well, Kyrie would be playing indoors. Let the baseball players play outdoors but not allow them to be with their teammates, not allow them to be in meetings, and don't allow them to be indoors during the course of the game. Can they find a way around that?
I guess they're going to look for some kind of loophole. And if anybody could figure out,
right,
knowing him, it's Randy Levine, and he certainly knows the levers of power in City Hall, having been the right-hand man of Giuliani throughout his mayoral term. But so it's okay down here in Florida. They're dressing in the same clubhouse. They were unvaccinated last year. They dressed indoors. It's a dumb rule.
No,
it's a dumb rule.
Right, but what I'm saying is he's not lifting the mandate, but at least acknowledging, well, if it's outside and these guys could play outside, then let's just take out the inside element for the unvaccinated. And that would be an easy thing to fix.
Create a tent
outside.
Kyrie raises his hand and goes, whoa, wait a minute. I can come into the Barclays Center. I could be in the locker room before the game, but I can't play. That's fair. I mean, the whole thing's unfair. And then if you lift the mandate completely, the 1,400 people that lost their job are going to be red hot.
So like we worked out with the outdoor dining, is there a kind of outdoor dining answer to allowing the baseball players to play? And then the difference is, well, they're playing outside as opposed to inside. I know it all sounds silly, but that to me would be the only way they can play and the mandate stays in place. Adam saves face by saying, I didn't lift the mandate, but at least we, you know, found some wiggle room and found a way to make it work the same way we did with the restaurants in New York.
Laura Albanese has done a great job covering this for Newsday. She tweeted out, the mayor's office and the health commissioner have not said why Kyrie Irving is not allowed to play when he's allowed to practice at the Nets Sunset Park facility. Health commissioner's office told Newsday they would have a response by last Friday, but have not provided one. You know why? There's no rational explanation for it. He can practice with them indoors in Brooklyn, but he can't play indoors in Brooklyn, but he can attend the game indoors in Brooklyn. You make sense of it. We'll be back.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, we have the Islanders and the Senators tonight, 7:30 puck drop. We have the Rangers and the Devils, and that's a 7 o'clock puck drop, 6:30 pregame on 1050.
Ray Rowe.
And then Don does a play-by-play starting at 7. So we're excited about that. And then we have the Knicks playing. Knicks and the Hawks. So if the Knicks hold out any hope whatsoever, this is a game they have to win. But Julius Randle not playing today because of an injury. It's a 7:30 start, 7 o'clock pregame here on 98.7. 7:30 is the tip-off, and you could watch it on TNT. And we gave you the news at the beginning of the show. We are proud to announce that we have come to an agreement on an extension of multi-years for 98.7 ESPN to continue to be the broadcast home, radio home, of the Knicks and the Rangers. So we're happy about that. And that is Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please, please, please enjoy responsibly. We have a little passing gas here.
Sorry?
Jeff Passan tweets out that the Mets and Pete Alonso are in agreement on a one-year $7.4 million contract, avoiding arbitration. Sources familiar with the deal tell ESPN. There you go.
All right, so.
Which leads us into this discussion, which I'm going to toss into the lap of Donald Marco LaGreca.
Yes.
Mets have made some dynamic additions, mostly
they have.
Through the free agent market. And the two biggest, I think, are Max Scherzer and Buck Showalter.
Mm-hmm.
Are they a playoff team right now, Don? Or
yes.
We'll start off with, are they going to win the National League East? And then are they a playoff team?
I think they have an excellent chance to win the division. I think they are definitely a playoff team. I'd be disappointed if they weren't, especially with the extra wild card. You know, you take a look around Major League Baseball, and I think the Giants and Dodgers certainly are playoff teams based on what the Giants did last year, but the Rockies and Diamondbacks are not. Central Division, you know, Reds,
Cardinals.
Cubs, you know, they're out.
Cardinals, Brewers
are probably the two top teams there. All right, so want to get a wild card. And then you look at the Phillies, I think, are improved. So there'll be a battle. There are three legit teams and maybe a fourth, but I would be very disappointed if they weren't a playoff team. And I was talking about this with Andrew during the break, Michael. I think you can make the case that this is one of, if not the best teams that Buck has had. I mean, really, the only one I think that could rival it would be the 95 Yankees that went to the playoffs and almost went to the league championship series.
No, I don't think the 94 Yankees is the best Yankee team he had. And then I think he won 100 games with the Diamondbacks in the second year.
That
was a good team, too.
They ended up winning a World Series the year after he left, just like the Yankees did the year after he left. But, and listen, this is no offense to Terry Collins. He was an excellent manager, got the Mets to the World Series. But did you really feel like, oh, we got an advantage because he's one of the best managers in baseball? I thought he did a terrific job managing the egos and all that. But I look at Buck and I say, this is one of the best managers in baseball. And I think they'll have an advantage over a lot of teams just because he's in the dugout. Especially in a sport now that isn't driven by a lot of in-game decisions, and if they are, it's all analytical. I think Buck gives the Mets an advantage, don't you?
That's the thing, because how much in-game managing plays a role night in, night out over 162 is questionable. We all know that, like, you know, lineup decisions and gut and things like that, of course, will play a part if you go on a championship run. But over the course of 162, Don, it's not really about all the decisions because analytics are so big. It's about the culture. And Showalter, by all accounts, is just someone who really gets on with everybody. So I think it's a huge advantage.
I think the culture change is going to be big. I don't look at them and say they're a complete team, though. They've got some redundancy in their roster. What are you doing with Robinson Cano if he's not your second baseman? Does that mean he's going to start at the DH rather than Dominic Smith, who's younger and might be better? I mean, Robinson's 39. Are you okay at third base? Are you okay with what you're doing at second base? Is your outfield good enough? I mean, I thought that the Mets probably were going to add an outfielder. They decided not to. I love the fact that they added Bassett. So the top three in their starting rotation, damn good. Their bullpen still scares me a little bit. Addition of Ottavino was nice. Chase and Shreve was nice. Do you believe fully in Edwin Diaz, who, by the way, has pitched very well the last 2 years?
No, he has. And I think that you now have ownership that will be aggressive during the course of the season. If the bullpen's not working, they will go out and try to find a way to acquire somebody. Fangraphs has the Mets, Michael, with the third highest percentage to make the postseason. The Braves at 85.2, or excuse me, the fourth, because the Dodgers are 95.1. The Braves are 85.2. Brewers, 82.1. The fifth, they're going by division here. Brewers the favored to win the division. Of the teams that aren't favored to win the division, the Mets have a 72.4% chance of making the playoffs, bested only by the Padres, 73.1.
And you wonder, the Padres, when that was done, Padres are going to be without Tatis for three months.
Yeah, so that certainly could affect things. And then there's a distinct drop-off from there. Phillies are 64.9, and then everybody else is under 50%.
Does that surprise you, Don, that they have the Padres as a better chance to make the playoffs than the Giants? By a lot. They have the Giants at 46.9%. Padres 73.1%.
You know, watching the Giants all of last year, the Giants were kind of like the Knicks were last year. That was a surprise. And the Padres were a surprise the other way, how disappointing they were. Now, maybe those percentages were done before Tatis got hurt. But the Padres, I think, are a better team than the Giants. A lot of things clicked for the Giants last year. So I don't want to say it was a fluke because I still think they could be good enough to make the playoffs. But to go right down to the wire competing with the Dodgers for the division, that's not going to happen again. I give the Padres a little bit of a better chance. But based on those numbers, Michael, wouldn't you, if you were a Met fan, be disappointed if they missed the playoffs, especially with the extra wild card?
Not only Met fans, I think Steve Cohen would be red hot.
Well, I think that, yeah, and listen, under Wilpons, you'd be upset. All right, Cano really shouldn't be playing, but with all that money that he's making, we're going to make him the DH. If Dom Smith is the better DH, he'll be the DH. And if Cano sits, he sits. Now, that wouldn't have happened before because they got to justify the money, but do you think Cohen is going to force Buck Showalter to play Cano because he's making more money than Dominic Smith?
I don't believe there's anybody in the Met organization that will have any say over who plays except for Buck Showalter.
Right, and Buck's going to play the best lineup, right? Buck's not going to care how much money somebody's making.
No, this is a last chance saloon for Buck. He knows it. He's 65 years old. The one thing that's missing off his resume that would probably put him in the Hall of Fame is a World Series.
Yeah.
He's gonna manage the way he's always managed.
And we can debate it, but like you said, the one Diamondback team won 100 games. I guess that was the 2000 Diamondback team.
That was the one that lost to the Mets in the playoffs, right?
That was 99. On the Pratt home run.
Okay.
So the 99 Diamondbacks, the. Oh, listen, we don't know what would happen in 94, but certainly 94 or 95 Yankee. I mean, this is one of the two or three best teams he's ever managed.
He did. At least he managed an Oriole team to an ALCS. They didn't win, but he managed them into it.
But I didn't think any of those Oriole teams were good enough to win. I mean, they could have beaten the Yankees. Was it who hit the home run? Was it Ibanez?
Ibanez, Raul Ibanez. Yeah.
Yeah.
But those teams weren't great.
But but it shows you the difference he made. He
turned they fell off a
losing organization that didn't have great players into a perennial contender. And then it all fell apart at the end. And I think Dan Duquette deserves a lot of the blame, too.
Speaking of the Orioles, you see Chris Davis retired?
Yeah, he's still their highest paid player. Yeah, do you know that with the Reds breakdown, the fourth highest paid player on the Reds, do you know who it is?
The fourth highest paid?
Fourth highest paid player on the Reds. Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah. You know, everybody
he's
kills
got one
the,
of those Bonilla contracts.
And Davis does, and Ichiro does with Seattle. You know, everybody kills the Mets for the Bonilla thing, and it is embarrassing, but it's not – they're not the only team that has that. There's plenty – now, obviously, Bobby Bonilla was no Ken Griffey Jr. and was no Ichiro. But there's plenty of teams that kind of had that type of a contract where guys are getting paid forever. I think is Davis like getting paid to like 37 or something?
Yeah, I think he's still getting paid off his contract too because he retired because of an injury.
Right, that was what. When you talk about the worst contracts in the history of anything, even outside sports, is there a worse contract?
No, that's what started to sink them because they couldn't absorb that loss and you know replace him with a good player. And
right,
they kept him on the roster. By the way, the 2014 Orioles, 96 wins, pretty good team.
What?
Let's take a brief timeout. 1-800-919-3776. Rolling along here on a Tuesday, Big E and N coming up at 6, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.